Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Good to have you on board today, Doc.
Blessing to be here, and a blessing to have Dr. Olson with us today.
In fact, why don't you introduce Doc? I know that he's been on the program before in the past, but it's been a while, and it'd be good for our listeners to meet him again.
Well, we just finished a session with men here with our staff, and I thought how good it would be to have Dr. Olson in light of the series we're doing. Mm-hmm. And the challenge to men, it's consistent with where we are going. And Doc Olson has been in the trenches for many years and really is a man's man.
You were a church planter?
Yes.
For how long?
Well, I was out in Denver for 21 years. We left our seminary training and went out and planted a church and just stuck it out for that period of time.
Out in Denver?
Out in Denver.
Man's man country.
Yeah, man's man, a leader, truly a leader by word and by example, and has been a good model for us, for our staff, for me personally. And what he just did with the men in our men's only session was excellent, and I thought it would be great to work it into the text that we are
in our
addressing.
Series that we're doing on,
yes,
getting your life in shape. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Matt, maybe our listeners, just for those who are perhaps getting to know you, you've been the president of Northern Baptist Bible College for how many years now?
Well, this is our fifth year, and we're just loving being here and being a part of what God's been doing for long before that. But we've loved the ministry here at Northland.
And you and your wife, Diane, and how many children?
We got three kids and one granddaughter. Just became a grandpa not too long ago, so that's exciting.
So that's that.
You're not old enough to be a grandpa.
That's right.
That qualifies you to speak on this forum, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we are in the middle, Matt, of a discussion together, Doc O and I, on how to get our life in shape for the new year. And we've been covering a number of items. And as Doc mentioned a few moments ago, what you talked about today fits right in with where he and I were going to go with our broadcast, and in fact, the next couple of broadcasts, in terms of some biblical covenants that God put in his word to help us as men fit the model that God wants for biblical manhood. And Doc, maybe you can introduce that a little bit, and then Matt, as you have opportunity, we would love for you to interact with what you said this morning in terms of how that fits in with where we're going here.
Well, the focus of our study will be Psalm 101, and those of you who have booklets or pull up the booklets online will be able to follow on the steps that we've given there. And I have chosen to call this chapter the covenants of a father. On occasion, I've called it the covenants of a leader, because David was becoming king, realizing what he was getting into, mm-hmm, was over his head, and he was really making a covenant to the Lord of what he would do. And I thought how excellent it would be for challenging men to be men and for fathers to take the lessons that were given in this chapter. And really, it's really fitting for all believers. But the particular context in Psalm 101 is David in his becoming a king.
And
he
making
to make promises,
right,
of what he would do.
So when you think of how this would apply to really those of us who are at the front end of our life, these are the covenants that we would need to make.
Yeah, I think as the chapter unfolds, we will see more clearly why that's true. Because it begins with a God focus, and it ends with a plea for wisdom, mm-hmm, and also the plea for guarding our words with the watch, the warning of what, mm-hmm, we watch, mm-hmm, and how we walk. And so we'll be taking five covenants out of this. But what Doc Olson covered during the time, I think, too, particularly the walk and our watch, mm-hmm, are very careful.
How does the psalm start? Where's the first covenant of the five that
you're
talking
about? Well, why don't you read the chapter? And if you're listening, I would encourage you, as Dr. Horn is reading, to pick out every time "I will" appears or "will I" appears. And then we will dig into this and see what was being said in that time and what covenant was being made.
All right, David wrote this psalm, Psalm 101, and said, "I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within mine house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within mine house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord.
A lot of I wills.
There are.
In that chapter. So verse 1, I will sing of mercy and of judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. This is consistent with the study we had just finished on building your biography of God, because I put this down as I will worship. And it based on a right perception of God and expressed in praise to God. Mm-hmm. And because we covered so much time when we are dealing with the building our biography of God and who God is, that we won't park on this particular point, but it's a good beginning point as we begin our new year. As a dad, as men, we make a covenant that we will sing, that is, we will have a heart of worship. And note the balance. What's the balance of God's view here in verse 1?
Mercy and judgment.
Yeah, he said, I will sing of mercy, which David knew, and of judgment, which David knew.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew the attributes of God, the mercy of God and the judgments of God, seemingly at opposite poles. David knew very well, but yet it caused his heart to be lifted up in praise and adoration for who God is. And we say, okay, what is my perception of God? David expressed that, and then he expressed it in praise to God.
Doc, in your experience in working with men, and maybe, Matt, you could jump in on this one as well, what have you found most men's perception of God to be?
Well, I think it's very limited. I think that most men have a perception of what they've grown up with and what they've viewed and they've seen. And I think since we've not been in the Word and really gained our theology and perspective from Scripture, we've really built it on observing this world, the media, or our home situation. And so I think it's really flawed. And whenever we get knocked back on our heels and we're trying to understand God, we're looking at him in the wrong way. And I think we draw wrong conclusions.
Yeah, and also I believe our view of God comes from our fathers. And you study our society today.
Right.
What percentage of homes would be a normal family unit, mother, father, children?
Mm-hmm.
Even a Bible example of Timothy. What did Paul always deal with Timothy?
Insecurity.
Fear,
yeah.
Insecurity and fear. Now, who was Timothy's father? Was he not an unsaved Roman warrior? Who was the director of Timothy's spiritual growth?
Paul. Well, later Paul, but
later
his
Paul,
mother,
but,
his mother and his grandmother.
Yeah, but when Paul met Timothy in Derbe on that first journey, and whether at that point Timothy was saved, but grandmother Lois and mother Eunice were the point of growth, but because he did not have that anchor point in a view of God, because the dad was a demander, a commander, obviously as a Roman leader in the military. That's only my personal opinion.
Right.
I'm not.
But he was basically, for spiritual purposes, he was absent.
For spiritual purposes. So Timothy's view of God had to be enhanced by Paul's instruction of him from the Word, mm-hmm. and constantly encouraging Timothy, don't be afraid, because, you know, God is going to be your enabler, and use the Word, study the Word, preach the Word. But God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of mm-hmm. power, love, understanding of a sound mind. So really, the view of God really does affect.
Yes.
So how do you overcome a dysfunctional mindset? Because when a lot of the listeners, I'm sure, come from homes where it was dysfunctional, and you're trying to overcome that kind of mindset. So what can a guy do today to purge out that wrong view of God and replace it with the right view of God?
Well, in my opinion, A is a visible godly male authority who takes that insecure one and directs him through acceptance first to the Word, where he is taught who God really is. But I think it's too big of a jump for a person to go straight from being told in salvation that he's saved and then all of a sudden picking up the Scripture and on his own digging out. It's possible, but how much more quickly it happens when a mature godly male gets into the life of that person and directs him to passages, say, you know, God is your father, And by the way, what is the great neglected commands of the church today? Visit the fatherless and the widows.
Yes.
And what a role the church has to play in all the men in the church taking up the burdens and passions. Someone gets saved, comes out of a home that we would call dysfunctional. What an opportunity the church has in that role to take those young children and teach them a proper view of God. What a role for men to play in that.
You know, it's almost like David takes his life and he says, now, here's how I know God. Here's how I've experienced God. I've experienced his mercy, and I've also experienced the times of judgment that he's had to bring into my life. And isn't that how we all pretty much experience God at some point?
Yeah, it comes from our knowledge of the Word. We know who God is through the book that he left us. And his inspired Word really reveals who he is. Apart from that, all we can do is imagine. But with that Word, we get a very detailed description of his attributes. And that caused David's heart to sing.
Well, that's a very interesting thing, because I could understand singing about having received mercy, but I typically don't sing when I receive judgment from God.
But he was singing of them. He was not singing for judgment. He was singing of
this
judgment.
This is true.
Yeah. In other words, he was in a position where he says, I know God is merciful, but I know God also is a judge when those who are walking wrongly, but I will lift up my voice in praise and adoration for these attributes that he has. And one thing that we did as a family, as our kids were growing up, we used to sing. I had a hymn history book. In fact, Al Smith gave me a leather-bound copy of his hymn history book. And we'd take one of those hymns a week and we'd sing it at the supper table. And then obviously, you know, reading the background of those hymns. But it was a pattern of praise where we would sing at the supper table. It's a good thing for you to do as a family. And very simple for Dad to have that book, open it, read that particular song, the background of that song, and sing it each night that you are able. Obviously, most families are not 7 nights a week sitting at the supper table. Even if you get 3 nights a week, sing during that period of time, but focus on that particular hymn.
Worship is a big part of our life, isn't it?
Well, it's the driving part of our life as Christians, because it really puts God in our minds in his rightful place. He is in control, and we are subject to walk in love and obedience to him.
And with that, we're going to have to wrap up our broadcast today. For those of you listening, we do have copies of today's outline for you on the website, www.thewordforlife.org, and look under Covenants of a Father. You've heard Doc O and Dr. Olson and I talk together, and you've joined in on our conversation. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.